Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q3 FY18 earnings conference call of NIIT Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Managing Director and Vice Chairman of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for joining this call. It must be a busy time for you, earnings season. So thank you for giving your time for talking about NIIT Limited. We will be talking about our quarter three results, consolidated results for NIIT Limited. And I have the whole leadership team of NIIT here, led by Mr. Pawar, the chairman, and myself, and Sapnesh Lalla, who is the CEO, who will be presenting these results to you in his avatar as the Chief Executive Officer of NIIT Limited for the first full quarter. Mr. P. Rajendran, the Joint Managing Director, is also on the call, and so are many other members of the leadership team whom we will introduce as your questions come to us. So just to save time, quarter three is traditionally the weakest quarter of the year, given the fact that our business is fairly seasonal. But this particular year, quarter three so far has turned out to be the best amongst the three quarters. With that brief introduction, let me hand you over to Sapnesh Lalla, who will take us through the results of quarter three as well as the outlook for the future. Sapnesh.
Thanks, Vijay. A few opening comments from me. Thanks for joining the call. As Vijay pointed out, quarter three has been seasonally the weakest quarter in the past. However, this past quarter, NIIT grew its revenues by 4% on a year-on-year basis, and in constant currency terms for the go-forward business, that revenue grew 8% year-on-year. The EBITDA was up 69% at 184 million. The EBITDA profit was at 9%. Profit after tax grew 350% and is at 197 million. NIIT, as we reported earlier in the month of January, acquired Eagle Productivity Solutions, a company that focuses on large-scale enterprise application rollouts, rollout training for the life sciences and pharma companies. This company is based out of the United States, and the acquisition was completed January 3rd. Overall, the performance of this quarter, given that it's traditionally the weakest quarter, felt good. More specifically, across different businesses, the corporate learning business did return a robust quarter. The constant currency growth in revenue was at 14%, and the EBITDA profitability stayed at 15%, which was up 204 basis points from the same quarter last year. The corporate learning solutions business renewed one of its large customers and expanded the relationship, and the relationship will continue for another 3 plus 1 plus 1 years. It also, in addition, got letters of intent from 4 new customers and a letter of intent for renewal from another customer. So the coming quarter, or the quarter in which we are, looks like a busy quarter from the point of view of transition for the corporate learning business. the skills and career business returned a relatively good performance in a seasonally weak quarter. Their revenue was slightly down at growth of minus 1% at 691 million, returned an EBITDA at profitability at 3% because of strong operational control that was exercised in that business. The key contributors to skills and careers performance was the growth that they saw in their IT business as well as the growth in China. The schools business continued to see us or NIIT ramp down its government school business, and the last of those contracts, the Chhattisgarh contract, is slated to close in Q2 of 2019. The go-forward business added 85 new school contracts, and that contributed, the go-forward business contributed 76% of its total business and grew at 16% on a year-on-year basis. The predominant part of the loss in that business was attributed to the closing costs of some of the government contracts. Overall, from a balance sheet point of view, the DSO days stood at 83 days. Now, 83 days is seasonally high and predominantly contributed by the end of year phenomena for our overseas business. Last year at the same time, the DSO days were 85 days, so improvement over last year. The overdue DSO days, however, also went down to 41 days compared to a higher number of DSO days same time previous year. Overall, the headcount, the business added 8 net headcount compared to previous quarter, predominantly in our corporate business, and the ROCE grew to 11%. Overall, I feel the business did well. The acquisition of Eagle is very exciting. It will help the corporate learning group address new market segments as well as gain new capability, specifically around rolling out large-scale enterprise applications, as well as increase their penetration in the life sciences and pharma vertical. It also indicates an acceleration in growth in the corporate learning business as we look at the year ahead. I will pause here and return it back to...
So, I'm sure, Sapnesh, thanks for a very, very brief but concise coverage of what all happened in the quarter. I'm sure this opens up for many, many questions. One of the things which maybe towards the end you can talk about is what do you see the direction of the business going forward. But after maybe we have had some questions on the analysis. So with that, we open it for Q&A for those of you who would like to get some clarifications on the results.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with a question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset mode while asking your question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. First question from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Market. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I want to focus on the skills and career group. In this, you are saying two things. A, the banking sector, the employment is hardly anything. And secondly, in case of IT, you are saying that the recruitment is down 90%. So against this background, do you see any kind of growth in the next 1 year?
Overall, thanks for that question. I think that question probably is on the minds of many folks. As you've seen, this business has seen challenges from the point of view of IT hiring, as well as challenges in terms of hiring freezes with respect to
banking.
We are starting to see some green shoots from an IT perspective. However, I think this business from a growth perspective will struggle. It has done approximately negative 10% over the last three quarters. In overall business, if you add up all the three quarters together, it's down about minus 10%. So I do see it struggle given the current environment, but we are starting to see green shoots in the IT segment, which will help us get to positivity in the next couple of quarters.
Can this negativity be set off by some amount of positivity somewhere else?
Sure. As you would have read in the newspapers, there is a substantial gap, and that gap is growing from the point of view of relevant IT skills. A large number of companies find their employees do not have the right skills, both in the IT segment as well as in the banking segment. And you'll see us, I mean, we already started focusing on reskilling as a market. We launched StackRoot as a brand to focus on reskilling, and that work is starting to show growth, and we think that reskilling is an area which will get us to see positivity on a go-forward basis.
And when do you see this positivity net-net on the skill and career front?
Like I was pointing out, I think these are two trajectories which will reach at a point of inflection, and I see us starting to see positivity in the next 2 to 3 quarters.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think the banking situation should also improve. Banks cannot remain in the current state of affairs for long periods of time. They would also have large reskilling requirements, as you know. They are also moving into the digital age at a very, very high speed. So I think once their transition and structural problems are over, we do see an upswing there as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of P. Sajdev from PNY Estates. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, my question is to the school division. You know, we've been hearing this, year after year, quarter after quarter, that, you know, the government legacy orders are yet to be completed or about to finish. But every quarter we see some kind of write-off or some extra cost. Could you throw some light on that, and could you just tell us the strategy of this division going forward?
Like I pointed out earlier, we are staying on course. The last of the school contracts is slated for closure in Q2 of 2019. That's the Chhattisgarh contract.
Not in 2019, 2018.
FY 2019. Second quarter or two quarters down the road, the Chhattisgarh contract is supposed to end. And after that, we are likely to see closure-related costs to continue for a couple of quarters. But that's the last of the contracts. And after that, we won't have any other legacy contracts to deliver on.
I think you referred to some write-offs. Could you elaborate that, please? Mr. Sajdev, you talked about some write-offs also?
Write-offs is basically whatever the closure cost or whatever, etc. you've been reporting quarter-on-quarter, you know.
No. Right now, I think the important thing is, as these contracts you get out of, there are the closure costs which are going on, right? That's right.
No, but can't we report all the cost in one quarter and just, you know, do away with the entire project instead of, you know, having a recurring cost every quarter?
I think we, I don't think these are exceptional costs or costs that you can project and then take, because these costs have to get incurred, and as they are incurred, they are recorded.
Okay, and what is the guidance for the all the divisions, you know, going into next year, fiscal 19?
Sure. From a corporate learning group perspective, this group has delivered robust results, and we expect it to continue to deliver robust results. I did talk about the acquisition of Eagle, and I think that acquisition will result into some acceleration of growth as we go into next year. And then beyond that, as you all are aware, NIIT started a contract with the Real Estate Council of Ontario, and that will start producing revenue in calendar year 2019 onwards. So we see acceleration in the growth of the corporate business on a go-forward basis compared to what it has delivered over the last 4 to 8 quarters. The skills and career business, like I pointed out, is seeing headwinds, but we see our investments in reskilling to start paying off. As I mentioned, we will see headwinds this quarter, but in the next couple of quarters, we'll start see some positivity and we'll see recovery. The schools business, as I mentioned earlier, the go-forward business has grown at about 16% in the current quarter, and will see double-digit growth our Q4, and the trajectory will continue as similar to this year's trajectory on a go-forward basis. Overall, we see positive growth at the NIIT level in the coming year.
Okay, thanks. I'll come back for more questions.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shraddha Agarwal from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon to the management team. Couple of questions. Firstly, have we been able to add any new DT course in our SNC business segment?
Yes, indeed. We added 3 new digital DT programs in the SNC business, and I'll invite Prakash to spend a minute on new courses, including the Mean Stack and ML and so on and so forth.
Thank you, Sapnesh. Yeah, so we have a few more courses in the DigiNext curriculum. Under the DigiNext curriculum, we added a machine learning program, added a data sciences program, and these are run through in Bangalore, specifically in Bangalore in India. We have done something very different in China. In China, we have launched a program on VR, and we have launched a program on blockchain. We did it last quarter, and we see a lot of traction for these programs. Over to you, Sapnesh.
Thanks, Prakash.
Right, and then Sapnesh, what would be the B2B component of in SNC now?
Like we pointed out in the past, what we do, whether we do it in the B2C manner, which is the individual paying for their education, or when we do onboarding, it tantamounts to delivering the same education. So we are starting to look at the India business as a skills and career business, because at the end of the day, whether the person is inside the corporation or the person is paying from their own pocket, it really means the same training. And so from an overall perspective, we are looking at it as a skilling business.
No, the reason I'm asking this is because I think we had added some 3-4 corporates on the IT side, and this gives us one large batch at one go to address. So if we have increased visibility in this segment, it could help prop up growth in this entire business.
We added 5 new customers in the B2B side of things who send large batches.
So that number has been constant for the last 2 quarters, right?
Yes.
Right. And just on your school's business, so how do we look at the revenue run rate? Do you think until this Chhattisgarh contract gets executed, we'll be at a similar run rate of 9 crores per quarter till 2Q19? And the cost overrun would also continue, and we'll be continuing to make loss of close to 2 crores each quarter for the remaining 4-5 quarters? Because you said that cost overrun would stretch even beyond the project gets executed.
So, like we said earlier, the Chhattisgarh contract will go on till Q2 of FY19,
mm-hmm.
and the costs will taper. There will be a tapering both in costs as well as revenue. However, outside of that, as you are probably aware, the go-forward business is a seasonal business. It earns a large part of its revenue in Q4 fiscal and Q1 fiscal. And what I will do is I'll invite Gavin to spend a couple of more minutes on the go-forward business.
Before that, I think there are 2 parts to your question. One is, what is happening to the government side of the business?
Mm-hmm.
And then, what is the acceleration? What is the go-forward business and how is that looking like? What will be the run rate?
Right.
On the go-forward part, Gavin will answer, but I think on the path of business,
mm-hmm.
I'll request Kapil, who will provide continuity to the discussions and the comments that you have heard before. Yeah, Kapil.
Yeah, Shraddha, the cost of that you pointed out, and there was a question earlier as well, we had pointed out at the time of Q2 results that we had just finished our largest government schools contract in Assam,
mm-hmm.
and that had a tail cost, which mm-hmm. is transitioning and getting signed off, so that we are able to collect our payments. And that project team winding up took 2 quarters, Q2 and Q3. And therefore, there will be an impact in these 2 quarters, which will get over. Post that, we have only one contract which is running in Chhattisgarh, which is a much smaller contract compared to the Assam contract that we had. That contract will get over. There may be some transition cost, but the order of magnitude of that transition cost will be substantially lower because the team to support and get signed off and do the transition there will be substantially lower. I hope that...
Sure, Kapriya, that's helpful, yes.
Thank you.
And on the go-forward business, I think Gavin will answer.
Sure.
Hi, this is Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
On the business, like Apne said, we grew 16% in Q3, and as we get into the peak quarter, which is Q4 and Q1 of FY18 and FY19, respectively, we think that will be much higher because this is the peak season, and the school business is fairly seasonal. So we are quite optimistic about our growth rates beating what we did in Q3.
So meaning to say upwards of 16-17% growth in the
forward business, yes.
Sure, Gavin, that's helpful. Thanks. And one last question, Sapnesh, on the corporate learning bit. So how do we look at the overall margin in this segment after Eagle gets consolidated and after the transition costs and the Rico deal is through?
So in that one breath, you talked about the next 2 years. I think let's look at it from short-term perspective. I think in the short term, we would expect the consolidation of the corporate business and Eagle to deliver the run rate that you are used to. So therefore, over the next year or so, you should see consistency in the run rate that you are used to. As we move forward into the years ahead of the next year,
mm-hmm.
yeah, RECO will provide acceleration, and therefore there may be some leverage that we might be able to gain.
Right, sure. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ganesh Shetty. He's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So can you please guide us the financials of Eagle Solutions and that will impact our growth in Q4?
Eagle did approximately $10 million in revenue over the last trailing 12 months as Eagle, and they will affect our financials in a proportionate manner for Q4.
Yes, sir. My next question is regarding our SNC business. Sir, in spite of best of efforts by management and lots of hope for other investors, still we are not seeing any light towards the end of the tunnel. That means our efforts and restructuring in SNC business is still not paying off. And do you think that we need to have second round of restructuring and we should get rid of some of the business in SNC which are not EBITDA positive or which are incurring recurring losses? Can you please throw some light on this, sir?
Sure. I think as I pointed out earlier, Q3 is a typically weak quarter, and in that weak quarter, the fact that the bank paid at revenue levels which were flat from the previous quarter is commendable. It shows some signs of recovery. However, as I pointed out earlier, we are seeing a squeeze or a freeze in hiring. The net new hiring in IT is down very substantially. So is the net new hiring in banking. So as we shift towards reskilling, and as I pointed out, we started that shift about a year ago, and that shift is starting to take root. Given what I just mentioned, I think we are starting to see green shoots. We are starting to see the changes that we made in structure paying off, and I think some of these will start becoming visible over the next couple of quarters.
Yeah, so my third question is regarding our recent conference in Goa, customer conference. I think we had a very successful customer conference over there, and a lot of corporates have been invited by NIT. So how do you feel that, the result of this conference to get more business within India? Can you please throw some light on this, sir?
Sure. Like you correctly pointed out, a large number of our customers came to our conference in Goa. They saw what an IIT can bring to them in terms of value, and they also saw the areas of expertise that an IIT had, and a fairly large percentage of those customers are starting to have conversations with us around expanding the business that we do. Several of the organizations that attended were also prospects, and some of them have already converted into customers. So overall, positive conference, positive impact, good feedback from our customers as well as prospects.
Thank you very much, sir. That's all for us.
Thank you.
I think, go ahead.
Yes, sir, you may go on.
I think there was a part of your question was around what do we do about the opportunities in front of us, and how can we move so that some of the low margin businesses start becoming high margin businesses. I think reskilling is a key opportunity. As I pointed out, a large number of IT organizations feel that fairly high percentage of their employees have skills that might not be relevant in the digital economy, and that is a key opportunity for us to reskill those folks as well as achieve higher levels of profit doing so.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all our participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Market. Please go ahead.
What about the encashment of your investment in NIT Technologies A, and B, about some kind of partnership for the school business?
So let me, this is Vijay Sarani. Let me answer the first part of the business. It's a regular question. It has a regular answer. So I will repeat the same at the right time. And obviously this quarter was not that right time. So at an appropriate time, whenever something is ready, we would be very happy to share with you. Our age-old intention, right from the very beginning, we have made it very, very clear that at an appropriate time, NIT would seek an exit from this business, the NIT technology stake. But at this point of time, we do not have anything. The second part of the business was on looking for partnerships for schools. As you know, in the last 1 year, the whole education segment in the country has been challenged with frequent changes which take place as far as schools are concerned, especially in the way new CBSE regulations come, the way private schools are being treated with their salary structures, and therefore at this point of time we have not been able to identify a suitable partner. Having said that, I think there are opportunities in front of us, which Gavin alluded to partially, but more will become visible as we are discussing our annual results. So I think that will provide the backdrop on the basis of which we will go forward. I also want to say that if you look at our overall business profile, while each of the businesses have an importance and significance of their existence and the fact that they have contributed in the past, but if you look at the current structure of the business, 62% of our revenues come out of our corporate learning group. And I think that requires a little bit of attention and discussion in terms of the great opportunities that lie in front of us. Sapnesh did talk about a little step jump that we will get in from coming quarter onwards with this acquisition, but which will give a step jump to this business. I'm not referring as much to financials, but more about coverage and what it has for future. And then the next step jump, which will be a much larger step jump, which is likely to happen as the investment, like last 2 years, we've been, 1.5 years, we've been making for Rico, as the product that is getting created will start generating revenues. And that's a continuing, that's an opening revenue stream that we will inherit, which is large. So we will see, 1/2 year of the following year add that on top of this. So that will be the second step. And the third step after that will be as Rico grows further in years. So I think Corporate Learning Group has some very exciting opportunities, and 62% of our business is coming from there. It is a high ROCE business, and I think I would request Sapnesh to talk a little bit about more about what are the directions and how is the pipeline and what is happening and the new customer additions, etc. The second is the 33% of our business which at one time was more than 50%, no doubt about it, was our skills and careers business. And in skills and careers business, which is focused on emerging markets, given the fact that India education and skills sector, and then IT and banking sector, the sectors themselves have been going through such a massive transition where we talked about new jobs, creation which has come to a standstill as far as banks are concerned, and even in IT is at a very low volume, I think requires a transformation. And that definitely has put a brake on the major transformation exercise which we had undertaken. But we have to find new products, and new products have got launched during last quarter also, which will provide us with the momentum. Reskilling is a very clear and present opportunity in terms of the 2.5 million people, IT professionals who need to be reskilled in the country. And I think Sapnesh will perhaps talk a little bit more about that. And schools, on which we did discuss for a while, we just need to be aware it's 3% of our total business, and in August it will become 2% of our total business, given when Chhattisgarh order will be over. So I think in the proportion of time that we are spending in discussing businesses, I would suggest that we also spend equal amount of time on corporate learning group. And I'm sure your questions are most welcome in, of course, all parts of the business.
This so, RICO thing is the real estate, the Ontario thing, is it?
That's right.
Okay.
And that is over a 5-year period, more than $100 million opportunity. So
on an average, $20 million per year incrementally?
Well, our share of that will be about $10 to $15 million. So
annually, you're talking of annually, is it?
That's right.
Okay.
And that will kick in from not this financial year, the next financial year.
Okay.
So I think there is a big step jump waiting for us. So, Sapnesh, you may want to just talk about how we are handling that.
Yeah, thanks, Sujay. And like I pointed out earlier, with the addition of Eagle, we have opportunities for large-scale enterprise application rollout, as well as opportunities in the life sciences and pharma verticals. As you probably are aware, life sciences and pharma companies spend substantially more than average on their employee training, given the regulatory nature of these organizations. So we see not only the addition of Eagle revenue, but also growth and acceleration because of Eagle. That said, like Vijay pointed out, a year from there, we'll get into RICO performing for us, and then acceleration or a full year of RICO performance the year after. So a lot of opportunities in front of us in a corporate business. The other thing I would say, and maybe I'm repeating myself here, we added LOIs from four new customers last year. So this quarter, the current quarter, is going to be a busy quarter for us, where we will start transitioning these four LOIs into customers. So a fair bit of work to do and a lot of opportunity to look forward to in the corporate business. Like Vijay pointed out, substantial disruption going on in the skills area in India specifically. And I think every disruption is a key opportunity. Like I pointed out, we started investing in reskilling about a year ago with the StackRoute product, and we think that will keep us ahead of competition. We already have, like I pointed out earlier, just in this past quarter, we added five new customers who started using the StackRoute product, and we see growth coming from there. So a lot of opportunity, both through addition of skills, combination of Eagle with NIIT, as well as some opportunity in terms of the disruption that's going on in the India market.
Any other question, Mr. Porter?
No, that's it. I'm through.
Thank you. We'll move to our next question, which is from the line of Sumit Bajaj. He's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. So I have two questions. One is regarding NIT for TV. So that was launched, I think, around 2 years back. So what value is it as it to NIT, and what's the way ahead and any monetization model for that? And second, how has been that online business for NIT in this quarter?
Sure. NIT TV was a platform to help individuals try and start to create a relationship with NIIT, and it has started to do that in a substantial way. As far as the online business is concerned, online business continues to grow sequentially and did quite well. As you know, it's a startup business. It now has done more than $1 million in bookings since it started, and has been growing at a healthy pace on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So the online business is doing well. It is growing. The NIT TV site is a site that has made a large number of folks familiar with NIT in a rich manner, and you know, just from the point of view of specifics, the online business grew 25% on a quarter-on-quarter basis, and it has done that over the last few quarters.
So how much would be the revenue visibility from training.com as of now?
Training.com or the NIT online business is a fairly small business. It's a startup in the NIT business. So from an overall perspective, it's a small business and will continue to grow. I think the learning from there is to see how what we are doing online can can help us create hybrid products which offer convenient and rich mechanisms of learning to our customers.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one. Next question is from the line of Jay Daniel from Entropy Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you provide me some flavor about operational leverage that is there in the Skills and Careers group? Because I understand gross margins in that division is very high. And also in the corporate learning group, I think most of the costs there are variable, whether you'll be able to sustain current margins. And what is the fixed cost component in that business? Essentially, the fixed cost component in both the divisions.
The fixed cost component in the corporate business tends to be in the 29 to 32% range, and while therefore a larger part is variable cost. However, over time, the productivity on the sales side as well as the leverage on the indirect cost improves, and that's why I pointed out that as the revenue starts growing, we'll start seeing some improvements. I think also as we start using technology to do more and more, we will see some improvements. And I forgot the second. You had a second question as well.
Yeah, and skills and careers, it used to be a high gross margin business, so... How is the gross margin now, and what is the operational leverage, fixed costs in it now?
Yeah, so at full capacity, it's a 65% gross margin business. So it has high leverage, and beyond a tipping point, it becomes remarkably profitable. This is a business that has seen EBITDA profitability of over 20-25% in the past. So as capacity utilization goes up beyond the point of inflection, it becomes remarkably profitable.
What is the tipping point?
I think you'll start seeing the tipping point go, yeah, I mean, we are right now, as you might see, near the break-even. We did 3% EBITDA now. So we are hovering around there. As you start seeing growth in revenue, we'll start seeing growth in profitability or improvement in profitability.
Okay. Skills and career.
Just as an added comment, I think last few quarters, the effort of the team has been to make sure that to reduce the break-even point and cut down the fixed cost structure. And a large amount of benefits that you've seen coming over the year, as you see over the last 2 or 3 years, top-line growth has been relatively weak, including this year. The top-line growth has been is flat compared to last year. But if you see the margin swing from minus 3% to plus 3%, so there is 600 basis points margin swing which has happened. So obviously there was scope for cost management. There was scope for consolidation. All those have been done. And hybridization of delivery presents another opportunity to reduce the cost even further. So idea is to keep the fixed cost lower, given the fact that marketplaces are in turmoil. We have to keep our head above water as the markets tend to settle down. So the minute we encounter growth, it will come with a very relatively high margin, even compared to the past. I think that's the comment I want to make.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up from the line of P. Sajde from PNY Estates. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Pradhani mentioned about the opportunity in the 33% of the business. Just want to, get your views on, plans to monetize these two businesses because, currently they're a drag on the company. In fact, if at all they're, I would say market is giving them negative value and hence overall drag on the company's valuation. So any plans to monetize the school as well as the skill career division going forward?
I have an interesting analogy just because I've been with NIIT for over 25 years now. About 8 or 9 years ago, the skills and career business used to be the business that had 25% margin, and the corporate learning business was just around break-even and not growing. So I think focusing in the right way on the right business can turn that business around and get us to deliver results. And I think that's what this team is focused on at this time.
So let's all, look at it another way. The questions that you are asking are the questions that he have addressed as well. So like Sapnesh rightly pointed out, in 2010, I very distinctly remember, there was a discussion because at that time we had acquired Element K, if you remember, in US. And we were wanting to see that with the changing training spends which were happening in US, for us to remain in corporate business would mean there will be a bit of heavy lifting that will have to be done in terms of subsidizing it. And there was a discussion that we should perhaps exit corporate business. And if, on such calls that we are now on, there were suggestions that came forward. We decided that the product and the subscription-based business, which Element K was, it made sense to exit. And we did exit, and it turned out to be a very, very profitable and useful and good exit. But we decided that where there are temporary setbacks or we haven't figured out the right business model, maybe there is a benefit in continuing our efforts and putting all of NIIT's energies in growing that business. That turned out to be a right strategy, because 2011 is when we got our first MTS contract. And then we thought maybe it was an accident or it was a coincidence that this strategy was working. But then next year we got two more. And after that, this business hasn't looked back. And today is 62% of the business. Just to remind us, this was a $23 million business in 2010 when we were about to take that decision. And Element K against that was nearly $90 million in revenues. And we exited the $90 million revenue by the quality of revenue that we were getting, not because it was a drag, because we saw it fitted in the overall strategy and core competences of the organization. Similarly, I think even in the current businesses, the way we have packaged them, there are a lot of small elements which are packed together. There we have been looking at which are the ones which do present a long-term opportunity and we should have the staying power to continue there. And which are the ones where we believe they don't present long-term opportunity either in terms of margins or in terms of growth. And we don't think it is worth remain invested there. And we will be taking these calls as Sapnesh has begun to settle down. We are right now going through our planning process and very much the same discussion points are on the table. So I wish it was a black and white answer, very much like you suggested we look at. But I think the answer to this solution will be gray and we will have to really pick up which shades of white and do we want to keep in this overall scheme of things. So I think by next quarter end, Sapnesh would be able to articulate his go-forward strategy in much, much clearer sense as we complete the planning process as well.
Well, I hope it happens sooner than later and you reward shareholders. Thank you.
Most certainly.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Well, thank you very much for being here on this call. As usual, these calls are extremely educative for us because your questions do raise questions in our mind, which give us time to think and look at our strategy. And we do hope all this learning will continue. And thanks for your cooperation, patience, and guidance in helping us through transition this company and bring it back on a high growth and high margin path. Right now, all that I would like to say is all members of our management team are available and of course Kapil Kaur would be available to connect you to anyone or answer your questions as you would have them. So with that, we would like to bring this call to a close. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of NIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.